All right, declare, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. All right, the Lord is good. All right, quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I think I should start from there. I want to read something. For a moment, let me just say we are continuing what I was sharing last time concerning the prophetic confession versus prophetic confessions. All right? Let's start from that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to explain something today about the spirit of faith. Paul explains something here. Let me just start from verse 7. Where I'm going is actually verse 13, but I just like to back up a bit so as to read what we are reading in context. Now he said, but we have this treasure, okay, in earthen vessels. Before that, he was talking about the apostleship and how they are walking and refusing to compromise the word of God. There's God that is working in us and is causing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ to shine through us. So he said, we are not preaching ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Now in verse 7, now says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. He said, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. He said, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. He now said, therefore we do not lose heart, that though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, having read this and studied it, my conviction is that the proper translation should be that though our outward man is decaying, yet from inside we are being renewed day by day. Why? Because for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then he went ahead to discuss in chapter 5, but let's just stop here. Now, why am I reading this? If you know, last time I explained a particular principle to us concerning the prophetic word as against the positive speaking that we sometimes practice in Christianity. What we do is that we think, and you know, there's some truth to it. I keep on emphasizing. Sometimes when you speak, people think that what you are referring to, even though people have testimonies that they work, that you are saying things, you are disagreeing with what works. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that life has different realms. There is a realm in which you use the energy of your soul to get results. Like I said the other time, anything you do in life must be powered. No matter how beautiful the aircraft is, you need to put fuel inside. A very big aircraft, some of these heavy jetliners, they cost as much as if you had to buy them cash and pay complete at a go. You can pay for some of them as much as $300 million for one single aircraft. Those are the commercial ones. I mean, I remember then, I think when A380 Airbus, I don't know how much they finally sold it. But initial price that they advertised was $550 million for one aircraft, all right? They're that expensive. But you see, each time you want to fly with all the money, you have to put fuel inside. That fuel may just be a few hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right, for one trip. But without that fuel, which is relatively inexpensive compared to the plane, that plane is not going anywhere. So all these things in life, I've explained, must be powered. Again, let me just quickly digress. So like I was saying earlier, some of these principles, it will appear as if they are working. They can show you that this was what God did. They can show you, so it will not appear as if I want to take the principles of God and use them. All right? But there's this little mistake we make, that it's possible to take the principles of God and operate them outside God. And that's no longer Christianity. Are you getting my point? It's very important you understand that. You can take some principles of God and operate them outside Him. For example, I can make a car, all right? And I made a car for a purpose. Then you take the car away and drive it and go and do the will that is not in accordance with my will. Yes, it's my car. Yes, it works just the way it would have worked if I used it. But because you don't know what I made it for, you'll be using it for a wrong purpose. So that if we say that, yeah, this is how God did things, for us in Christianity, no matter what we understand, our weapons must be mighty through God. They must work through Him. They can never work independent of Him, even though we think they can get results. Actually, those who ate of the tree of the knowledge of good, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's what they were saying. They were taking the things of God and using them independently. That was why He said, man has become like one of us. God said it. Man has become like one of us, able to, you know, discern between good and evil, able to make decisions and create things the way He wanted them to be. And that's why when they got the Tower of Babel, part of that principle was that if God, the Godhead, could agree, they would do anything. So the human being said, if we all agree also, we can do something. So let us build a tower unto ourselves for our own glory. And God said, if they have agreed to do this thing, it will be done. No, nothing will be able to stop them. Yes, these are the principles of God. So you can use the principles of God and use them against Him. So the fact that somebody tells you that he saw a principle outlined in the scriptures does not mean that the fellow is doing what is right. And that's the mistake people make when we don't understand these things. All right? We just say, okay, the principle of confession. You can confess and kill somebody. I'm not joking about it. You can use your confession to kill a human being. You can become an accuser. And you tell the fellow, like I say all the time, tell the fellow, die, 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 die. If you tell him to die for long enough, and three of you can agree that the man should die. If three of you shall agree as touching who shall die, you understand my point? The person may actually end up dying if he or she doesn't have power to keep him against your onslaught. You may not realize that many Christians are practicing nothing but witchcraft. They are using the same principles, but because they see something like that in the scriptures, they now think that we are doing that which is in accordance with divine order. Okay, but actually what they are doing is taking the things of God and using them very wrongly. So be very careful. So if someone says that, put a picture on your wall and begin to declare and you confess and draw that photograph, put the building the way you want it. Look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it, look at it. Yes, one day it will come to pass. It does not mean God granted it to you. It means you have taken spiritual principles and applied them with the energy of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not with the energy of the tree of life. Are you getting my point? You have taken what is spiritual and you have applied it against God, and God one day will bring His judgment against it. Just like He brought His judgment against Adam and Eve in the garden and He kicked them out, one day also He will most certainly bring His judgment against that which you have done, thinking you are doing that which is in agreement with His will. So you see that, I put a picture there and keep on calling it. Like I was saying, each thing is going to need energy. Each principle is powered by energy. They don't just stay by themselves. And the energy they are using is the energy of the human soul, which eventually will get exhausted. One day you are going to download something that is heavier than you, and it will kill you. That's not my point. Yes, you are going to have, you will have accomplished much, and then you will die. People don't realize that what happened is that your soul energy is exhausted. And we Christians, that's what we are careful about. We are careful to ensure that anything we do is powered with the energy of God. And that thing is what we call grace. If you get results in life, it must be powered with the energy of God. You don't use your own energy to get results in life. That's why Jesus said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late eating the bread of sorrows. That is, if you work so hard and you get the result, you're actually eating the bread of sorrows. It's not as if you will never get results. You will. It's just that it's what the Bible calls the bread of sorrows. He said to Adam, he didn't tell Adam, you will never be able to accomplish anything again. He never said that to Adam. What did he say to Adam? He said, in the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you will become so exhausted that you will return to the dust from where you came. I don't know whether you got that point he was trying to say there. That is, you will work, you will labor until you're exhausted, and one day you drop and you die. Death will come out of exhaustion. Because that working of your life will wear you out, one day you will drop. That's the process. You see, before now, my life would have brought results into your life. But now, you are going to sweat. From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you will have so sweated, your whole life will have sweated away, and then your body will now return to the dust because there's no longer any energy to carry on. So we Christians are careful that we don't use the energy of our souls to power our lives and get results in life, but that we use the energy of God. So if you say, okay, look at it, begin to consider it, contemplate it, sit down, focus on it until it begins to materialize, no problem. This is your Boeing 787 is flying. Don't worry. This your 747 is flying. The only problem is that what fuel is he using? All that concentration is the energy of your soul. All that begin to imagine is the energy of your soul. Wake up every morning, declare, is the energy of your soul. One day, what you are getting is the result of sweat from your brow. On one day, you will return to the earth. Because dust thou art, you have been operating the principle of dust. Instead of you to leave that realm and come to higher realms, you are sticking with that realm and, this is the annoying part. You start giving testimony of it works. It works. It works. It is working. Listen, my friend, you are dying. You are dying. You are dying. Your energy is going. Do you get my point? Now, what I want to do in life, make sure that you live your life in such a manner that you can truly give God glory, that you can actually go to sleep, because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Very important to understand this, as I'm saying. That is why I said last time, let me say it again. For believers, we are not using all our energy to confess things. No. What we just do is tap into the energy of God. We ensure that his power is flowing into what we are doing. We ensure that we are literally mounting on wings like an eagle. That is, this is the idea about the eagle zone that is being carried by the draft, that is, by the energy of the spirit, literally. Because the word wind, air, in the Hebrew and also in the Greek, is the same word for spirit. That is, so we are being carried by the blowing of the spirit, so that the spirit blows us to where God wants us to go. That is the important thing about Christianity. That's why I concluded last time when I was explaining that, so we are not taking time out to arrange the details of our lives. We know that the lines will fall for us in pleasant places. Why? Simply because the word of God is living and active. Remember, active is what most people know. Most people are not aware of the living aspect. The living aspect means that the word thinks. It's a living being. That's the meaning. He wasn't just trying to explain to us that the word of God is powerful. We know. He was telling us the word of God has sense. Let me put it like that. It can make decisions. It can plot your life. It can take you to a place that you never thought about. So what are we supposed to do? That's what I'm talking about today, the spirit of faith. The continuation of that, our discussion on prophetic confession versus positive confession. What I've said so far is that positive confession is often nothing more than human beings using the machinery of the spirit, a spirit now, not spirit of God, but the realm of the spirit, using it with their own energy to bring it to pass. Whereas prophetic confession is when we take the word of God and apply it to our lives. And when I say apply it, now, I don't mean just obey the principles, but we declare those words over our life. We rub it on our system. And then what we are doing is allowing the Spirit of God to flow into it and create events. And I said the Spirit of God, the Word of God thinks. That's what the Bible was saying in that book of Hebrews chapter 4. It thinks. It knows when to give us power for something. It knows how to arrange things you did not confess. It knows, because you cannot confess things you don't know about. You can only confess things that you have heard before, you have seen before, things you are able to imagine. But the Word of God brings into your life things you never knew existed. People you did not even know are able to help you. They may be around you, you don't know. You are confessing that, that big man is going to come from Lagos today and he's going to give me this. He'll connect me with this. Meanwhile, the man who is beside you saying that, you know, that you are discountenancing his presence. He's the one that God actually has put his salvation, your salvation in his hands. But you don't realize it. But because you are so focused on what you can call to be, that's why I said all those pictures on your wall, tear them. Tear them. It's not necessary. God will make all grace abound towards you. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what you need. The word will plan and bring something into your life that you never thought about. That is what we are talking about. That is what it is. Spiritual things, that's for us believers, is not the ability, that is the way we walk in the spirit, is not the ability to... Those people get confused. That's why they will tell you that these are the things that Muslims do and they get results. Once you hear that, just know it's not the word of God. Because the word of God, you can never use it and get results except you have believed in the Lord Jesus. Why? That word has been made valid only because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say Muslims have used it and it's working, and they said they're able to use it without giving their lives to Christ, it's not grace. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 4, it has to be by faith, he said, if it is going to be in accordance with grace. It is by knowing some principles and working, and anybody can use it, whether you're a Guru Maharaj or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist, and even Christians, then it is not grace. And what God came to give us in Jesus Christ was grace and truth. Grace and truth, he said, were realized through Jesus Christ. We must understand this. So somebody tells that, look, this happy everybody does, and again, he said, listen, it won't work. Like now I say, you know the one I teach all the time. He said, everybody knows I want to just give you, just get. I said, if Muslims can do that, say, yeah, then that's not the one I want. How do I get there for? I say, I have found out the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in that he was rich. Then for my sake, he became poor so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Now, that's the point I'm talking about. That's where we're going. That's a word. Somebody say, that's a word.
That's a word.
It's a word of God. No, say that. Say, it's the word of God.
It's the word of God.
What I'm trying to say, that word is alive. That word can think. That word knows the kind of business that is good for you. Are you getting my point? That word knows the kind of career that is yours. That word knows the kind of empowerment that God created you to carry. That word knows. It knows the kind of people you should interact with when you're doing business. It knows the kind of places you should live in. It knows the very place you should live in. It knows where you don't belong. That word knows. In trying to bring itself to pass, it knows what to do. So it now begins to push you along the way by itself. You now find the lines falling for you in pleasant places. That's what I'm going to explain. You now go, you find out that, you, like I said last time, I said minute, you will get a job you did not apply for. You apply for 10 jobs. The one you that was your own is the 11th one, which you did not apply for. Why? Because the word works. That's the meaning of the word works. That is the meaning of the word works. Many of us, our problems are we are hindering the working of the word. Why? Because our eyes are focused where it's not supposed to be, so that when God wants to lead us in one direction, we pull him in the other direction. And the unfortunate part is that when we are doing that, we are confessing. No? And that's why it's so important that I explain this thing very well. We think we are confessing positively. Meanwhile, we are actually confessing against the working of the word of God. Which is why I tell Christians, what do you do? Just take that word alone and apply it. When I say apply it, I don't mean there are principles. Yes, there are principles. We'll get that one later. But right now, I'm talking about just take that word and speak it over your life all the time. That's what I'm saying. That's what this teaching is about. That's what it's all about. Somebody said that in your whole family, there has never been a rich person. So you need a curse broken. Tell the person, Pastor Banky and the scriptures agree, and they said it's a lie. Are you sure you hear what I said? Say amen if you heard it.
Amen.
Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That's not loud enough. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That's more like it. Say every curse.
Every curse.
Has been broken.
Has been broken.
Off my life.
Off my life.
Say I've been set free.
I've been set free.
I have escaped.
I have escaped.
I am free.
I am free.
That's the truth. It's only those who cannot say in the name of Jesus with confidence that that doesn't apply to. Anyone who has given his or her life to Christ have accepted the grace that is in Christ Jesus as his or her own. That fellow is free. So So when people are trying to break poverty, rising up early, then I will not be poor in this life. Going to bed late, me too, I must make money. Sowing dangerous seeds, working hard and hard and hard and hard, and painting picture of prosperity on the wall, forget all of those things. What you are supposed to do is take the word of God and do what? Apply it. You know, like paint. You know, it's apply paint on that wall. You go there and apply it. How do you apply the word? That's what I'm talking about. It's that thing that Paul called the spirit of faith. He said the spirit of faith causes you to talk. He said, look at what we read this, that chapter, verse 13. Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. What was Paul saying here? If you look at it in context, we do not speak according to what we have experienced. Because the things that we have experienced, they can be very difficult. We have seen affliction. We have been persecuted. We have been struck down. We are always carrying in our body, verse 10, the dying of Jesus. These are the things we have seen. We live constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. That is for the ministry of the Lord Jesus that we are performing in your lives. He said, when you look at us, death appears to be walking. He said, however, we don't speak according to what we have seen. We speak according to what we believe. That's what Paul was explaining. For that reason, we believe that he who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us together with him. We know, because of his, that is the understanding we have of him, he said, we do not lose heart. So if you look at us out of verse 16, our outward man is decaying, yet we are aware that from inside, we are being renewed day by day. Why? Because all our afflictions, they are temporary. They are light. For that reason, we fix our eyes on the things that are not seen, rather than the things that we have experienced and we can see. Because everything we see are temporal. But the ones we do not see, they are the ones that are permanent. They are the ones that are eternal. What was Paul trying to explain here? We do not speak according to our afflictions. We do not speak according to our experiences. We speak only according to the word of God. And that's what he said in that verse 13, that we believe, therefore we speak. Not we experience, therefore we speak. But we do what?
We
believe. Not what we experience. Because Paul was explaining here that our experiences have been very negative. But we are not speaking according to our experiences. We constantly speak according to what we believe. The problem is that a lot of people use their experiences to determine the truth about life. I went to preach somewhere. A woman requested to speak to me. And by the time she finished, her father was a strong man in the occult or something like that. Then he gave his life to Christ. Her brothers were like that. They gave their lives to Christ. They were following their father. And then they became very broke. And they were now having financial issues. Somebody now said they needed to... Now, this is the thing. When we're speaking, after I finished talking with her and everything, something is dawned on me. I just called her. I said, wait, are you planning to go to the village to go and do deliverance? The way she smiled and looked at me, I knew I got her. you know somebody you have caught. Indeed, they were planning it. So I said to her, don't try it. I said, is it why? Because the family, have had, her father, they have her brothers, they've had problems. I said, no, but of course, you know I say all the time, who doesn't have problems? I said, but from the story you have told me about your father and your brothers, they should have problems. If they don't have problems, something will be wrong. You're operating life in a particular dimension before. You now repented, and you now want to start following righteousness. All your business partners must have been corrupt people. All your clients are not normal people. Do you understand my point? You are shedding off the way you knew. You have to learn a new way. It takes a while for it to produce results. It does. That is why faith always goes with patience. Faith always goes with patience. That's why I tell you all the time, if you don't want anybody to make merchandise of your souls, don't believe all this one that they tell you that by tomorrow, your offering you gave today will break all the rules of seed time and harvest. Don't be deceived. Anything you can't do and continue doing, don't start. You won't get any result. Somebody says, go and sell your car and give an offering and get result tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with it, though. If your father was sick and your car will heal him, won't you sell it? Are there wicked people in the house? Won't you sell it? So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you are trying to use it, because you know when you're selling for your father to get treatment, or your wife, or your child, you know you're not, the only result you're looking for is what? What is that result? The healing. Thank you. The health. As you are giving that money, as you are selling that car, do you realize you are not thinking of what the car will bring for you? You are thinking of the health it will procure for your offspring. So we can do things like that, but what is motivating us is the result it will get in the lives of the people or the situation we are spending it in. I'm not saying we can't do that. I'm just trying to say, if you say that you want to do that to get something for yourself, this is a law of the spirit. If you cannot continually make such sacrifices a habit, you will never get any result. That's why the Bible says, don't be weary of doing good. Because in due season, you will get your reward. One more line. If you don't get tired, if you don't faint, anything that will bring faint into your system denies you of your reward. That's the point I'm trying to get us to understand. Spiritual things, faith always goes with patience. Go and read that Hebrews chapter 6 very well. It said, be followers of those who through faith and quickness inherit the promises. That's what he said? Faith and what?
Patience.
What did he say? Faith and?
Patience.
Not loud enough. I want to know you are here. Faith and what?
Patience.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. I told that woman that day, I said, listen, you don't need deliverance. What you need, I'm adding new words to it now, what you need is patience. This, your affliction, is necessary to qualify yourself to really enter into the kingdom. Because Jesus said, well, whosoever will put his hand on the plow and will look back is not worthy of the kingdom. Why would they look back if front was sweet? Why would they look back if handing the plow was sweet? Why would they look back? Were it not that there's something to look back to that is drawing them back in the other direction? I told the woman that, I said, forget it. What happened is that your father, your brothers, they chose the way of Christ. And narrow is the way. Straight is that door. Which one is narrow? Which one is straight now? When the Bible uses the word straight anyway, it doesn't, you know the way we look at straight? It's as if it's straight. It doesn't bend to the left. In fact, those are the ones they used to draw it for us. They draw a straight road, and then a broad road winds like this. That's not the meaning of the word straight. Straight means it's tight. When you see straight in that context, it was talking about tight. It means it's a door you squeeze through. Your leg first, then your head next, then your shoulder, you know? Then you squeeze, and then finally, your stomach will pass through. That's what the Bible calls straight. Something you negotiate with difficulty. Something that when you are passing through, it will scratch your shoulder. You come out on the other end, you are bruised. I told the woman that that's the problem with your father and your brothers. It is that they have chosen to walk in righteousness. It's straight. It's narrow. It's straight and narrow. When they say straight, it doesn't mean it's you can use a plumb line to measure it. No, it means it's difficult to navigate. I told her like that, not because she wasn't having problems. I'll tell you why I spoke to her like that. I believe, therefore I spoke. Did you hear what I said? I did not speak according to her experiences, the woman I was speaking to. I spoke according to the word of God. People often try to draw doctrine out of their own experiences. And that, you know, that's why many people who they tell stories. One woman, my neighbor, she was sick until her mother-in-law died. After that, she became well. So that woman is the one that was afflicting her. So today, you will pray, everyone who is afflicting me, die. No scriptural background. They come to church one day and say, do you know where your placenta is? Have you ever seen anybody in the Bible ask where somebody's placenta is? Jesus wants to pray for somebody. Say, where is his placenta? Jesus is my Lord. Jesus got to the house of Peter. They say his mother is sick. Say, Mama, just between me and you. What happened to your umbilical cord? Have you seen it in your Bible? All those doctrines are stories. What the Bible calls fables. That's what people do. And the story starts, it's not in the scriptures. Wait, let me tell you. There was one woman that I wrote. Then there was one man. His business was doing badly until the man found out that it's his father-in-law and his grandfather, coupled with his uncle's sister's brother, that connived. Not one scripture to support it. Do you know how many altars are raised up against you? You are driving a car. When an altar, sell that your car, you make it an altar unto God. Tell the man, okay, I will sell it and give to the poor. Whether the doctrine will not change. It's true. I'm sorry I have to talk like this. Because every day people hear things. People come and start, have you been eating your dreams? Who did you see your dream last? Check. Everybody you saw in the scripture, Christians that dreamt, the only significant dreams were the ones that dreamt of God. Show me one man in the Bible that dreamt a bad dream, and that was because people were afflicting him. Show me one. If you're a Christian, any dream that's not pulling you towards righteousness is a lie. You hear what I said? If you're swimming in a dream, I hear those kind of things. Let me tell you, the other day, I was dreaming of Kenny Hagin. And I think, was it Kenny Hagin or Bishop Oyedepo? I was dreaming of one of the two of them. And they were trying to do something. There was a tube and we were passing through. And I woke up. Oh, I left my phone playing Kenny Hagin messages. So I was hearing his voice in my dream. And I was creating a story around the man. Many dreams, that's how they come. They are pursuing me in my dream. You are owing people. Go and pay. This is my prophetic word for you today. Pay those who you are owing. Nobody will pursue your dream again. Go and pay. I promise you. Just go and pay. I have found that those who preach all those doctrines, all they have to tell are stories. Somebody said, Pastor Banky, you don't know something, no? I don't know that one. This is the one I know. To the word and to the testimony. He said to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to that word, it's because light has not yet dawned on them. They don't know what they are talking about. That's what I mean by apply. He said, I believe, therefore, I speak. I don't speak according to experiences. I need to emphasize that. Because that's what the issue is with Christianity. People judge their lives based on experiences and other people's stories. I believe. What do I believe? I believe what God has said. I believe that God says, as a type, that is, Israel was used as a type of what the lives of believers would be. I believe that if I run away, in quotes now, from my enemies, from the challenges of life, because they are too difficult for me to handle. You know what the Bible says? It's not because the enemies are strong. He said, why will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000? And he was referring to Israelites, being the 1,000 being chased. Except that their God gave them up. That is, I cannot have affliction and troubles in life if my walking with God is correct. I never worry about what the enemies are doing. It is what I believe. What do I believe? What the scriptures say. I hope you are getting my point. God said, they will gather, but it will not be because of me. Anyone that gathers against you will fall because of you. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment will be condemned. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of God, and their righteousness is of me. Isaiah chapter 40, 54. Now, this is the point. If I don't experience all of these things, it is not because their gathering is strong. It is not because their tongue is strong. It is because my heart is not united and serving my God. That is all. I believe, therefore I speak. Those who don't speak according to this word, they say, what we will now do? We will fire at the enemies. Go and read the scriptures. It's never like that. They are raising up altars against us. I keep on saying this thing. Why I have to say it is that people say the opposite so much. You go to the airwaves, tune, listen to, especially when they are rising from Africa. 9 people out of 10 talking on TV. They are lying to people. And then some are even, you know, they are certified liars. They don't believe in God. Yet they come up there and be speaking in the name of Jesus all the time. And I beg the Lord to shut them up rapidly. It's getting on my nerves. That's why we have to keep preaching the truth. How do I solve my problems in life? I speak according to what I believe. And what I believe is that which is recorded. I said last time, I don't confess according to my wishes or my experiences. That's not scripture. If I have problems, like I was saying earlier, there has been no rich man in your family. This is not like, listen. That was then. This is now. Which family are you even talking about? Is it natural one I was born? This one was born of the spirit, not of flesh. I hope you're getting my point. The former one was born of flesh. Now we're talking of the one that was born of the spirit. If my experiences don't align with what is written, I start declaring, speaking that which is written over my experiences. I don't speak my wishes. Oh. That's what I've been trying to emphasize. Most Christians spend a lot of time prophesying their wishes. 2016 or 2015, my year of buying 2 new cars. Every morning, they're confessing. One is a Lamborghini, the other is a Bugatti. Some people are confessing for what will remove peace from their soul. That's not what I have messaged, anyway, just by the way. We are not confessing our desires. Christians spend a lot of time. What should I confess concerning prosperity as an example? It's simple. There are so many scriptures. I don't need the details. I just need the word. The word will work out the details. When they came to Mary, you will have a son. Such shall these things be. Seeing that I know no man. The angel said that the spirit of God will overshadow you. Now, you know what that spirit was doing? As that word came and the woman said, let it be unto me according to your word. That word organized the manger. That word said, listen. This boy must be born poor. Once the woman accepted that word, that word started working things out. That boy had to be born in Bethlehem. Where was it? I don't know this Christmas story again. He was born in Bethlehem, right? He was living in Nazareth. And his headquarters of ministry was in Capernaum. Yeah, that's how his life was. You know, that's why people, when they say, when they came to Nathanael, they said, come and see. He said, can anything good come out of what? Nazareth. That was a mistake. They thought he was born in Nazareth. The scripture was that he would be born in Bethlehem. What am I going to explain? The word went and said, this boy has to be born in Bethlehem. So that word went and caused Caesar to release a decree that required him to Joseph to move. So Joseph moved with Mary. Said this boy has to be born in the Meme zone.